I want to read some from the book of Galatians, the epistle of Paul to the Galatian people. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. I'd like to exhort you just a little bit tonight if I can. I'm real hoarse. Baptizing sometimes does that to me. It's cold. All right, reading, I think I'll read from the first chapter here. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I don't know whether you noticed that or not, but it said that God might deliver us from this present evil world. How many know that the world is evil? You know, a lot of people don't want to be delivered from this present evil world. They like this present evil world because it satisfies their flesh. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections thereof. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that be, yon measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. All right, now, if you'll notice here in two different places, Paul speaks of the revelation. He says in one place here that it pleased God that Christ should be revealed in his life. Now, the Bible speaks of Christ within you, the hope of glory. Is that right? It pleases God that Christ should be revealed in you. It pleases God that the Lord Jesus Christ be revealed in your life. If God cannot reveal Christ in your life, then you are of no good or profit to the Lord. And he says here that he received what he received by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Most assuredly, there must be such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of people wonder why that Brother Pike speaks of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they seem to ponder why that I'm always speaking of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what Paul spoke of. Paul spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what John the Revelator spoke of. He spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ. To me, there is no other gospel except the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, the things that I was taught them by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he instructed the people that they should pray to God that God would grant unto them the spirit of revelation. Is that right? I perceive that we need the spirit of revelation. A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, why doesn't Peter emphasize the revelation of Jesus Christ the way that Paul does? One reason is because Peter was sent to the Jewish people that knew only the law. But Paul was sent to the Gentile people. And Christ came to take a bride out of the Gentiles. And we were to be a different type people, a peculiar treasure unto God. We were not to be bound with ritualistics of law and of the things that the elders practiced, the tradition of the elders. That's why God chose Paul. It's because Paul was altogether familiar with the tradition of the elders. He says here, I persecuted the church and wasted it, being zealous because of the tradition of the fathers. A lot of people today are so zealous because of the traditions of their former religion. Some being Amish are traditionally zealous. Some being Baptists are traditionally zealous. Some being Church of God. Some being Pentecostal holiness. Some being one thing and some being another. They're very traditionally zealous, but not according to the knowledge of God. They actually persecute and waste the church through their zeal. As the Bible said, it is written that the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. A lot of people are so zealous that God doesn't have any place in their life. They're so zealous to get over what they know and what they think and what they've been taught and their opinions about it and the way that they feel like it's got to be until God never has any place in their life. Many years ago, I was like that. I was like Paul until God struck me down. I was zealous with my own ideas. I was zealous with my own ambitions. I was zealous in what I heard, what people said. But one day God struck me down and turned me around like he did the apostle of old. And I found myself laying out in a yard and somebody bathing my face off. I'd lost my mind to the extent I'd seen the end of the world. Something had suddenly happened to me because I was going after the things of the world. And yet I was still religious. But God turned me around and God gave to me the spirit of revelation. I don't believe that can be denied. That God gave to me the spirit of revelation. Now a lot of people say, Brother Pike, God isn't going to give you that spirit. Then why did Paul tell us to pray for it? Why did Paul go to the trouble of telling us to pray for something that God isn't going to give to us? I prayed earnestly before God that God would grant unto me the understanding of the Word of God and of His Son. I prayed that God would help me to see and that God would direct my life. A lot of people would say, well, if we had Paul the Apostle here tonight, Brother Pike, we'd be good listeners. But you wouldn't. You wouldn't any more than you are to me or anybody else. Because we don't have Paul tonight, we have God tonight. We have Christ here tonight. In the days of Paul, he had the same problem. The perverted ones caused the same problem. Some of them listened to Paul and some of them didn't. Some of them said, I'm of Paul. Some of them said, I'm of Cephas. Some of them wanted to go with Cephas. Some wanted to go with Paul. And Paul had to preach to the ones that would listen and the ones that wouldn't listen, he didn't. Somebody would say, but if we had just had Paul, why I can't understand why anybody would have left Paul that had religion. I can't understand why anybody would have preferred Cephas over Paul. Are you listening? But they did, didn't they? They did. They walked off and left Paul. They found fault with Paul. They came against Paul just exactly like they do me today and like they did every other leader of God that God's ever had in the earth. But there's one thing about it. Paul didn't stop preaching the gospel. Paul didn't stop telling them about the revelation. Paul didn't stop doing the things that God wanted him to do, because he said it pleased the Heavenly Father that from the time of my birth that Christ should be revealed in my life. In my life. I have no other desire. I have no other ambition. I don't want to do anything else but preach the gospel and help people and direct people to God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, why do you want to do that all the time? Because I don't have any other interest. People get grieved at me and they get upset at me. And they don't understand. They say, well, why come you can't talk about cars and houses and lands and all these other things? Why can't you be kind of congenial through life and at least be a little bit sociable? Because it bores me. It disgusts me. I'm not interested in that. As far as I'm concerned, God will give me all the cars I need. God will give me all the land I need. God will give me all the things of life I need. I don't have any desire but for one thing, and that is to please God and to walk with God and to know more about God, and that's the only desire that I have. Everything else to me is boring. Like the song says, it's sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I don't have any other ambition. I don't have any desire. Some of these young fellows that have a desire to run around and be here and listen to somebody always telling something. Run around and dibble and dabble with this and steal this and mess with that and go here and there. And by the way, I heard tonight that some of you boys better watch out. You better really be careful. I understand that the police is on your trail. Some of the names was called tonight. See, some of you's been troubling me. Some of you's been doing wrong. Some of you wouldn't listen to me, but now the police is on your trail. And I'll tell you something, when they get you behind bars, then you'll listen to Brother Pike and you'll want the favor of Brother Pike and you'll want the favor of the brethren, because nobody else ain't going to help you. They don't care if you step there and rot. But there's a greater prison than that. When you lose your soul, when you reject Christ Jesus, when you go contrary to God and God delivers you to the jailer and he puts you into a prison that you can't get out of, then, my brothers and sisters, you'll be glad to listen to anybody. Maybe you've never served any time in there. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've never been in a spiritual cell, all God's got to do is keep you in there a few days and your eyes will be opened up. There's one thing for sure, if you've been in a natural cell, you've never been in a cell like you'll be in if you get in a prison of God. So then Paul instructed us to be such a people that Christ Jesus could be revealed in our lives. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, about Jesus Christ being revealed in my life? I'm a Christian. I want Christ revealed in my life. I know that God's being revealed in my life. But the Lord is not being revealed in your life unless you are suffering for the name of Christ. You've got to do some suffering for the Lord. You've got to deny yourself of some things. You've got to look out for others and help others and desire things for others. That's the way God is seen in your life. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take your finance and your substance and not lay it back over here and figure out what you're going to pay every week and what you're going to pay every month and make sure that this fellow over here isn't going to frown on you because you've got to put him off a nickel or dime. That's not doing anything for God. Christ isn't revealed in your life when you got everything nice and you figure everything out and you lay everything up just for your own convenience. There's no Christ in your life. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is in your life when you're willing to run the risk and take the chance and discredit the old man and let the old man be drugged through the mud that you might do something for those that are in need, Achunda. When you're willing to do like the little widow and take the last cake you got, the last dollar you got, and do something to help another and to run a risk that you might help somebody else. That's when Christ is being revealed in your life. When you're willing to come over here and work all night in something trying to help get some gospel out. Or come over here and do something on the buildings to help erect something here as the monumental praise unto God, where people can see the act of faith and people can find a shelter in the time of storm. That's doing something for God. When you're willing to sacrifice your own feelings, when somebody cuts across the grain and somebody comes and they say something mean to you and they speak real short to you and it doesn't feel good, but you swallow down and you go on anyway and you manifest the Spirit of God and you come back at him. The Bible said when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. You don't come back and revile at him or try to get even with him, but you just commit yourself to the Lord. And you say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. That's the way it's supposed to be. For the Lord chose me by the revelation of Christ to reveal Christ in my life through the sufferings that Paul went through. Jesus was seen. Christ is seen through your self-denial. Christ is seen through your sufferings. You know what? Every one of us ought to have such a zeal for God that we'd be willing to kill the old man out, to kill him out more and more, and put him on the cross more and more, and deny ourselves more and more, always searching for some way to put the old man down, some way to put him to the cross, some way to put him to the test, some way to get him to deny himself, some way to do something for God. Some of you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You've been around the gospel for many years, and you've never done anything hardly for God. Everything you've ever done for God could be summed up in a very little bit. And some of you, as the old saying goes, has got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peeling. You're just about ready to cross over and you're still clinging to a dollar. You're still holding on to the things of the world. You're still trying to figure out how to get a little comfort and consolation out of this life. That's the truth. And some of you've got diseases, and some of you are in a dying condition, and some of you, yes, just about ready to go insane from nerves and mental oppression, and still won't do anything for God. Still won't let yourself go for God. Still trying to figure out right now how you can have a big Christmas and a lot to eat and give somebody some silly gifts. Pardon the expression. Somebody said, what do you mean some silly gifts? Anytime you send mom and daddy and brother and sister and June and Junior and Jack and Joe and Bill and John and you sit down and listen, that's a silly bunch of doings. If you want to do something, give something to God. The Bible said, he that lendeth to the poor giveth unto God. Find some of these people that need something, some people that are hungry, some people that need something that you can be a testimony to. Find some prison, buy something, send it to the prisoners. Do something for God. Forget about mom and daddy and Bill and Joe and Jack and John. If they've got bread and raiment, let them be there with content and you do the same thing. Write mama a letter and say, mama, I'm not sending you a gift this year. I wonder if you'd like to join in with me and both of us together send some prisoner a gift or somebody that's in need a gift. Mama, you're doing all right. I'll just send you my love. That's enough. Somebody said, well, what's going to happen to Santa Claus? They'll wash him down the drain. That's where he needs to go. I notice already the Christmas season hasn't even set in. And already you're robbing God glory, already. Not that it matters to me. It just so happened God's already taken care of my needs for the Christmas season and for the season after Christmas too. And the season after that too. But it's absolutely shocking. It's astounding to see people draw back in a shell. Every year they do this. Every year. Every year they do this. I was just talking to a brother, loan another one, $1,000 to get ready for Christmas. And it's gone down the drain already. The whole $1,000 can't even hardly account for none of it. The Bible said, my people are greedy dogs that don't never get enough. Don't you know there's not enough to feed a fat belly Santa Claus? The very spirit of it is the spirit of the glutton or spirit of the devil. There's not enough. You can work from now on and try to remember the names to send gifts to. And I've seen people that would go in debt at Christmas time and spend the rest of the year trying to get out of debt because of their silly doings around Christmas. You think God's pleased with that? That's a silly person that does things like that. It's no wonder the Bible speaks of silly women. And some men are more silly than women. So then God wants to reveal Christ in our life. If you want to do something for somebody that needs something. Find a little orphan, find a widow. Find somebody that's in need, somebody that needs a helping hand. And get together and do something for them this year. Compel them to come in. Why isn't the church filled up tonight? Because we're not going out into the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in. We're satisfied with our four no more. And if I ever do get a new one in here, we put him through such a riff-raff until by the time we get through with him, he's ready to leave from here. That's the truth. I'll tell you one thing. If somebody sticks around here, you better believe they really got the goods. They're really somebody. Because the way that you people treat them, it's no wonder they don't stay here. Somebody can come in here as a sinner woman. And our long-tongued sisters, and not really sisters, false brethren, the Bible calls them, they've got to pick them apart like somebody pecking on a chicken. They'll say, did you know that old so-and-so come down here and she wasn't dressed like she ought to be dressed? When that old devil spirit on the inside of you is so bad that you'd be better off if you was like her. At least God could do something for you. But you put on sheep clothing and act like a wolf and scare her half to death. When she comes in here, you know that she's a sinner. Jesus ate with the sinners and ate with the publicans. You know that she's a sinner. That's why God sent her here. It's so you can help her. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid she'll get my husband. Well, if he's in that bad of shape, you better let her have him. I'm telling you the truth. That's right. We got women around here just exactly like that. But I feel that we need to do something for them people. Now, I believe that whatever belongs to us, we ought to be concerned about it. But I think we can get downright silly. I'm willing to sacrifice anything I've got for the cause of Christ, including my children and my wife, if it comes to that. God hasn't required that. He did in the days of Abraham. But he hasn't required that. But if that's what it takes, I've had men in my home a lot of times that need to have been pushed through the washing machine of God to get the filth out of their mind. I couldn't even hardly stand for them to be in my house. They created such a filthy stink. My wife, knowing that she was listening to it, I get around her and feel like she was dirty because she heard it. That's right. But I put up with it for the sake of lost souls. I put up with it for the sake of lost souls. I put up with a lot of things in my life for the sake of lost souls. Why? So that we can reveal Jesus Christ to the world. We need to reveal Christ to the world. I appreciate a decent man when he comes to my house that ain't got his mind on the serpent seed, ain't got his mind in the garbage can, ain't got his mind on sex, and ain't got his mind on this and that, and something, always having to bring up something dirty and filthy. I appreciate a decent man. Hard to find one, but I appreciate him when he does come in. I appreciate a decent woman that'll come down and talk to my wife about something outside of everything them and their husband does. It's filthy and dirty and low down and make me feel dirty when I get around her and feel like she's dirty when she gets around me. But I do feel that we ought to realize that God is the number one thing of our life. And that we ought to place lost souls as the number one thing in our life. We ought to have more desire to win souls than to do anything else through life. If you haven't got a passion for lost souls, you haven't been born again. If you don't have a hunger to thirst to try to tell somebody about Jesus, then you don't have salvation. Any person listening to my voice that doesn't have a desire to try to tell somebody about Jesus, you don't have Jesus. That's the truth. Somebody say, oh, you're just saying that. I'm saying that because that is God's truth. You don't have Christ. Anybody that's not willing to sacrifice a dollar, anybody that's not willing to come together and try to pool an effort to swear to their own hurt, to see that the gospel goes out around the world, you haven't got the Lord Jesus. Anybody that's willing to take their finance and their substance and hold it at home or hold it somewhere else while everybody else takes the load and slip out like a Judas, you haven't got God. You need to be born again. People who have God want to do something. Some of you fellas that come around over here and stand all day long and don't do nothing. Do you think that I believe that that's the nature of Jesus Christ? While others are working and others are trying to help, and you're trying to talk to me and tell me what you're going to do and don't do nothing. What you tell me don't mean nothing. Paul said, if you've got a will, let's see a performance. What you tell me that you'd like to do and what you tell me you're going to do, that doesn't help a bit. I'm better off with a man that don't tell me nothing, that just goes and does or do whatever needs to be done. And some of you that'll take a job and drag it out all day long and the next day and the next day and just keep it tied up and drug out while 10 or 15 men are standing around that could do something. You are hindering the work of God and you are a stumbling block in the way of God. And God will get you someday for it. It's the power of the devil that does that. You're not very wise. You're not very smart. You're not a very good leader. Paul said, let's reveal Christ in our life. Christ wouldn't do that because the Bible said, redeem the time. You people that come over and say, well, Brother Pike, I just didn't get here today. I just didn't have a mind to work. I just had something I had to do. You've got a flat tire, or you've got a problem with the wife, or you've got a problem at home. Had all the week long to do it, but on the very day that we're going to do something for God, you got a problem. Your problem is the devil. That's what your problem is. If you'd get rid of the devil, you'd lose your problems. Somebody said, I just can't make it over. That you can have some of the most flimsy excuses. Some married a wife. Some had to plant a field. Such flimsy excuses. Do you think that's the nature of Jesus Christ? Do you think that's revealing the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of my leaders that will neglect to see that whether or not we've got the proper things out here, whether it be lumber, whether it be cement, whether it be tools, whatever it is, to put men to work that come here that want to do something for God. You leaders, don't you know that that's not revealing Christ? To come and tell me you're sorry, that don't mean anything to God. Tired of you coming and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He wants you to do something about it. Now, if I ain't got to you, if you hold on, I will get there in a minute. When you're serving tables, sometimes some folks have to wait a few minutes. I ain't going to say about hunting yet. But honestly, folks, we need to do something to reveal Christ in our life. What are we going to do? Now, what are we going to do? We got a job to be done. I need to get this thing through. I need to get it finished. I want to do it. I'll do anything in the world I can to help. And that's the truth before God. As a matter of fact, down here on this building, I've been paying a brother down there to go down there to get them blocks laid. Now you listen at me, brethren. That man that I've been paying is the inspiration of what's being done. And the only thing that I'm really getting done. Isn't that something? We have to pull a dollar. Solomon said, money answers to all things. I have to get somebody that is a sinner and pay that somebody so that they will inspire the children of God to go to work and do what God's got to do. Well, we really got some leaders, ain't we? I'm going to tell you something, like I told my brother one time. You know what a leader is? A leader is somebody that can get out and do something and lead others into it. That's what a leader is. A leader is somebody that's got to stay far enough ahead of the followers to be a leader. Some of you leaders are not as good a workers as your followers. Some of you are not as good a leaders as some of the people that's following you. You need to get up and go. Get up and do something. Get your mind straightened out. So then Paul said that we need to reveal Christ in our life. What are we doing for the Lord? I was looking at a brother's book the other day, a magazine. Hundreds and thousands of little starving children in India. What are we doing about it? Thousands of people starving to death in Mexico. What are we doing about it? When Betty and I was out on the field, we done more for some of them then than we're doing for some of them right now. With all of the followers we got here. What are we doing about it? We're not making any effort to do anything about it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do if we all sit down and fold our hands. There's nothing we can do if we're going to try to see how much chicken and pie we can get for Christmas so our relatives can come around and we can sit back and gain another extra 10 pounds by being a glutton. There's nothing we can do. You'd feel real bad if I called a fast all the way through Christmas, wouldn't you? If I said tonight, don't want nobody to eat, even the dogs, can't even feed the dogs like you did in the days of Jonah. Can't feed the chickens, can't feed nothing. I'll fast all the way through Christmas. Somebody said, you think I'd follow that foolishness? No, I don't. It's not foolishness, but I don't think you'd follow it. I got that much confidence in you that I don't think you'd do nothing for God. You've showed me enough of whatever you are that I place enough confidence in you that you ain't going to do nothing that I tell you to do for God. But I tell you what, I've got a few. But if I called a fast through Christmas, every one of them would fast. Right on through Christmas. Right on through. But now then, what if I just did that? What if I just said, well, I'm going to wait till they buy all the turkey, hold back all the money from God, and get everything they want, and then when they spend every bit of it, I'm going to say, we're just going to fast all through Christmas. How would you feel? I said, well, Brother Pike, you wouldn't do that. Honestly, folks, I believe we need to do something, don't you? I think we need to do something for God. Now, we had a mind to work a few days ago, and we was getting this building up. And then we got a mind to do everything but work, and then we stopped. When the man that I was paying stopped, the whole job stopped. Come on, folks. If I'm lying, somebody have a backbone and tell me. I said when the man that I was paying stopped off of the job almost completely stopped and hasn't gone very much further. Is that right? Then what was the inspiration of the job? The dollar. Is that right? Now that makes it look pretty bad. You know what will happen? If I keep preaching like this, you'll get an ambition, you'll get under conviction, and you'll work a day. A day. That's right. You'll come out here, and for one Saturday, you'll be busy as bees. And in just a few hours after that, we'll have to go through the same routine again. I'd like for every person to purpose in their heart that through the Christmas season, that they're going to try to be Christ-like, try to do something for God. The Bible said the wise men brought a gift to God, not to their relatives, not to their friends, not to their neighbors, not to their wives, not to their husband, not to their children, but they brought a gift to God. This is supposed to be the Lord's birthday coming up. Well, when your child has a birthday, you don't send gifts to everybody else, do you? Maybe you do, but I don't. Then if the Lord has a birthday, why do we send gifts to everybody but Him? Somebody said, well, you do it unto others, you do it unto him. You mean because you give grandma and grandpa and everybody a gift, you've done it unto the Lord. You know that's not right. The Bible said, he that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto the Lord. When you do something for the poor, you do something for the needy. You send something to the crippled. You send something to the blind. You send something to the prisons. He said, I was sick and in prison. You visited me not. You send something to somebody in the hospital. You understand what I'm saying? Then you brought a gift to Christ. If it's his birthday, let's do something for him. Let's try to do something extra special to win some souls. Let's try to do something extra special out here on the house of God. When we built this house right here on Christmas Day, I was on that wall right there, and it was as cold as it could be. And I was laying block right there. And Aunt Lee was right next to me, and others was right over here in this fellowship room right here. And they was digging in the dirt when it was icy cold. You couldn't hardly stand it. That was on Christmas Day. Now I wonder what we're planning to do on Christmas Day. I know what you're planning to do. You're planning to go home. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't think of doing anything except going to see my mother and daddy. Well, that's all right, if that's what you want to do. Because the best thing for you to do is to do what you want to do. Because God's going to feed you the fruits of your doings and the fruits of your thoughts. And then when you get through, I want you to take stock and look back and see if you followed the lust of the flesh and the desire of the flesh. The Bible said Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Or if you followed the mind of God and did the things that pertained unto the Lord Jesus. I want you to check it out and see what you did. I asked some of the brethren to work with me so that we could get this building up down here. Whereas it would have been no trouble whatsoever. We could get it up and dry it in to where we as a group of people could have come together during the Christmas season and served some meals down there and prayed and sought God and praised God and hope others around and figure out what we could do for some needy person. I've already started trying to do something for the needy, have you? There's been a number already that's come to my door. Numbers of them already that's come to my door. Now I've tried to do something for the needy. I'm trying to figure out how to do more for the needy. Are you trying to supply the need in any way at all? Are you trying to be partakers with me? Are you trying to help me? Somebody said, well, I just don't see doing that. So-and-so ought to do so-and-so. But you don't feel that way when it's you, do you? You don't feel that way when it's your boy, your daughter. You don't feel that way when it's your belly, do you? Do you? No, you don't feel that way. You feel like something happened and you just couldn't help it. But if anybody else is in need, anybody else has to have a helping hand, then you feel that person is wretched and that person is careless and that person deserved it because of what they did. Say amen. You want to try it again? Say amen. So then Paul said, God chose me to reveal Christ in my life. I wonder tonight, and I'm going to close here in just a few minutes, but I wonder tonight how many of you are making a special effort that Jesus can be seen in your life. I wonder tonight. Somebody said, well, I know I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean anything. Just because you say that you know you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for 25 years, that don't mean nothing. But I want to know how many of you are doing something to try to prove that Christ is in your life, that the world can see it. How many of you making a self-denial? How many of you trying to perfect holiness in your life? How many of you trying to swear to your own hurt and do something special to where your light can shine so that men might see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven? How many of you are trying to do that? Like I said today, them building that great big place for the light company over here on the hill, that don't glorify God. That's just a bunch of money men. But God is invisible. God is a spirit. There's got to be an act of faith. Got to be something that will bring to light an invisible power that's able to foot the bills and able to carry something on to where the world can see it and say, well, I know that that has to be God because they couldn't do that. Somebody said, well, I feel like we've done it. Well, I feel like you didn't do it. If you want to check the books, I can prove to you you didn't do it. I got the records. God did it. By the act of faith with the few faithful that I've got here, Gideon's few, that was willing to stand with me and believe with me and work with me. They're the ones that did it. The rest of you just towboated and bummed around. That's right. Came along for the fishes and the loaves. Somebody said, well, you just wait. I'm going to get in. I know you're going to get on the bandwagon. You're going to get on the bandwagon. When everything's done, there's no work. There's turkey and ham and everything else. You're going to get on the bandwagon. I can count on you getting in. There's no doubt about that. You're sure to get in. You're just watching for the occasion. But I'll tell you what, when we finish with everything, and the labor and the toil and the travail and Calvary's over, I won't have to worry about you getting in then. There'll be hundreds and thousands that'll get in. When the persecution was lifted off the church in the dark age, everybody got in. It became popular. Even Constantine himself decided to team up with them. But when the persecution was on the church, and they were trying to frontier something for God, and they were persecuted, and they were killed and burned at the stakes, nobody didn't want to get in on that. As long as we're carrying a cross, you don't want to get in on it. But when everything gets nice and creamy, to where it's going to provide for the flesh, then you want to get in on it. But I'm going to tell you something. You remember this. God said, I'll destroy the fattest among you. I'll slay you like a bunch of cattle. He said in the wilderness, said, I fed you to the full, and he killed them while the meat was still in their mouth. He'll feed you. You get on the bandwagon. You wait till all the work's done. You hypocrite around, then you jump in. Don't carry the load and see if God don't kill you. See if you don't do like Moses, look over there and not be able to go in. That's right. You love the Lord? Do like Ananias and Sapphira. Hold back what you got. Hold back your effort. Hold back your strength. Come around, want to boss everybody and tell everybody what to do and do nothing yourself. Can't say amen? I got a lot of bosses here. I just got bunches of them. I'm always seeing a number of them telling everybody else what to do. But it's hard to find anybody that'll do what they know ought to be done. And it's so much easier to tell somebody than to do it. Somebody said, well, what I'm worried about is your part. Well, that makes two of us, because what I'm worried about is your part. You leave my part alone. If you're worried about my part, you leave my part alone. I'll get to it. You take care of your part. I got a feeling if everybody does their part, my part won't be near as big. So you don't worry about my part. You worry about your part. Let me worry about my part. Somebody said, well, you don't worry about my part. Well, if I don't worry about your part, my part won't get done. You love the Lord? See, your part's my part too. Because the Bible tells me to preach the gospel. The Bible tells me to tell you what to do. That's my part too. Now, I want you to stand with me. And I want you to take this little bit of exhortation tonight. I talk with you just like a father would to children. To try to stir you up. The Christmas season is coming on. People are going to have time off from work because some of them ain't going to work Christmas season or no other season. And I know they're going to have some time off. I've already heard some of them tell me about the time they're going to have off through Christmas. And I've thought very carefully, well, I don't know of any time you've had on much. So during this Christmas season, while you have a lot of time off, I'd like for you to volunteer your services to do something for God. I don't want to draft you into it. I want you to volunteer your services to do something for God. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm going to get right down there on that building and I'm going to work. Well, you don't have to worry about that because Billy told me he'll be back about Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'll just go ahead and pay him a little money if he'll take it, and he'll go ahead and finish the building anyway. He's been more loyal than some of the people that profess Christianity. He even came to me. He had enough manhood to come to me and said, now, Brother Pike, I'm going to be off Monday and Tuesday. I won't be able to be with you because I got a job I got to do. But I'll be back right after that. That's more than some of you have done. Some of you, I can put you on a job And it don't matter where I put you. You stay there till I turn my head and leave, or until the leader turns his head and leave, and you're gone just like that. And if you don't do that, you'll keep passing the buck and shifting around till you get to something where you can just piddle around and do nothing. But don't forget, God keeps a good record. All them days you stayed home, all them days you said, I can't, all them days you felt like you just couldn't do it, every one of those things is on record in heaven, and God is going to reward you according to your doings, according to the deeds done in the body. I was hoping today that we could get something done on the little glass slipper. I don't know whether they did or not. I thought we would take today. The Bible says it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. I don't do anything out yonder for testimony's sake. But I forgot it. This morning I was going to tell them, let's do that. And I forgot it. The Lord suffered it to slip from me. And I don't know whether they've done anything on it or not. You did? I know that I asked 2 or 3 weeks ago if we could get it off. And we haven't got it off yet. You know, it's grievous to me, brethren, that we drag things out. There's other evangelists, they get books out just by the dozens. That's right. And here we are. I mean, they've just got a handful of people. And they get books out by the dozen. Here we are with dozens of people and we don't even get books out by the handful. I feel like we need to do something. I really do. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I feel like you're right. Whoever they are needs to get started. Well, I'm talking about you. You're the one I'm talking about. If you yourself would get started. Now, how many of you know who you is? All right, if you yourself will purpose in your heart that I'm going to do my part, whether it's give, whether it's dig, whether it's pray, whether it's fast, whether it's to be an example to the flock and live right, I'm going to do my part if nobody else ever does anything. And quit grumbling about old brother so-and-so and old sister so-and-so and the reason I couldn't do it because they didn't get me this and they didn't get me that and I didn't have this and I didn't have that. If you can't find this, then take that. If you can't find that, then find something else. A man that's got a mind to work is going to do something. Did you know that? A man that's got a mind to steal is going to steal something. A man that's got a mind to kill is going to kill something. And a person's got a mind to gossip is going to tell something somewhere. But a person's got a mind to live right and a mind to do right, they're going to do right. And if they got a mind to work, they'll work. And the Bible said they built the walls back because they had a mind to work. Now, tomorrow is Monday. That's supposed to be work day. But I know some of you will never make it. But if there's one or two here that isn't going to work out there, then come and help me. I'm going to say this again, not to weary you, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. I find as a positive thing, men that won't work out there won't work over here. That's the truth. The men that work here on this job is men that work out there on the job. They'll take a day off or something and come over here and work over here. That's the only men that'll do anything. Others won't do anything. They'll just piddle around. Now, how many of you tonight don't have anything to do tomorrow? I know some of you are afraid to raise your hand because you're afraid I'm going to ask you to do something. But I don't want you to help me. I just want the volunteers. Them that don't have anything to do tomorrow, we're going to try to do something out here on this building. The Bible said take time to be holy. And we're trying to take time out here to be holy and fix this place to where in camp meeting this year to where we can feed the people down here in this cafe. I know hundreds of things go around in your mind. I know it. I come here, I have to deal with it over and over. You're supposed to be intelligent people. Some of you are supposed to be so intelligent. All the time, you're up here in your mind, every time I say come and dig and do something, your mind goes to clicking, you know. Up here, well, what are you building all these buildings for anyway? I don't see where that's got anything to do. I have to put up with that over and over. And then when I remind you of what we're doing, all of a sudden you think, oh my, that is right. That does pertain to the gospel. My, I shouldn't have thought like that. Well, you shouldn't have never had it on your mind to start with. What do you keep fighting against me for anyway? What do you keep finding fault anyway for? If you don't believe in what I'm doing, why in the world don't you leave from here? Why do you want to wrestle with me and fight with me and find fault with me? Why don't you get in here and help me? Jesus said, he that don't gather with me, he scattereth. Somebody said, well, I ain't going either way. There's no such thing as that. You're either going with the devil and scattering and causing me trouble, or either you're lining up with me helping. I want that building down there because I need that building to feed the people doing camp meeting. These people around here have to feed those people doing camp meeting. I want that building down there to where we can have a little clinic down there and a little barber shop down there and a little post office down there and a school down there and a market down there. Does anybody know whether we need any of those things or not? Somebody said, well, bless God, I can go to town and get my mail. Well, why don't you do that? Quit bothering with Brother Bucky to bring it out here. Leave our mailman alone. Go get it yourself. Ain't no need of running him to death for you. He wants to do something for God. That's why Charlie quit. Now, so I'd like to have a little post office out here. Because if my wife goes to get the mail, I'd like for her to meet some decent person. Instead of going over to a garbage can. Have some filthy-minded person to crack jokes with her. Like the fellow we got up here. I don't know whether you call him a constable or what you call him. Down there. I had somebody tell me this evening how filthy he is. I'd like to have something of our own, something decent, something clean, something holy. If you don't want to be a part of it, for the Lord's sake, why don't you leave, Brother Pike, and leave these people and go out there where you can be a part of whatever you want to be a part of. And let me have decent, upright people that want to do something for God and want to have a decent, upright place. If you want to be filthy and wallow in the mire, go out there with the pigs, with the dogs. Jesus said, all that's without the gate's dogs. Is that right? You young boys that come over here to cause trouble, why do you want to be so silly and so foolish? Don't you know that God will put you in the chain gang somewhere and let you serve 8 or 10 years? Don't you know that he'll cause you to have some dreaded disease or lead you into temptation? The Bible said, pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. Don't you know you'll get God upset with you and he'll lead you into temptation, and the first news you know, you'll be in trouble. Them that trouble you, I'll trouble them. Why do you want to trouble me? You ladies that want to gossip and be long-tongued, why do you want to trouble me? Why don't you move, go somewhere else, do something else? You that's got your mind with your mothers and daddies over in the Carolina and out in Texas and Mexico and everywhere else, why don't you go back to your mother and daddy and quit troubling me? I don't need anybody but them that wants to serve God. That's all I'm looking for. If you want to serve God, if you want to do what's right, if you want to live holy, if you want to be pure, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to get up and have a performance in your life and reveal Christ in your life to the world, then I need you. But otherwise, I don't need you. I don't want you. Because I don't have time to do those other things. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Somebody might say, well, Brother Pike, I feel you say some awful hard things. I don't feel that these are hard things. I really, truly, from my heart, don't feel that these are hard things. If I got down to the place to where I flipped the benches over and popped a whip across you, then I might be getting a little drastic. That's the way Jesus did it. But I don't feel these are hard things. Why would these be hard things? All I'm requesting is what the Bible says. All I'm asking you to do is just exactly what Christ asked you to do. All I'm asking you to do is be decent and upright and join ranks and do something for God and not be a bunch of wandering stars of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Just wandering around from place to place and house to house, being busybody in other men's matters. All I'm doing is asking you not to be a bunch of wandering stars and hold a post of duty and do something for the kingdom of God so that you can have reward and not be cast into a lake of fire. That's all I'm asking you to do. According to what I can tell from talking to him, you know, he had a lot of things in his mind and a lot of things that he thought he wanted. But since he's got Josiah, he's decided that this is everything. He was telling me, you know, all about him and what he was, and he's got big plans for him, though he's a little fella. And And he really is. He's a precious looking little thing. But we're going to say something here concerning him that we can have it as a record on tape. Father of Heaven, we realize that the dedication of these little children, even the little Josiahs that we hold in our arms, Father, they have a great significance. And Lord, as we feel again the wonderful anointing of Jesus, how I do thank you, Father, because you so freely anoint me. And I so freely feel your presence. Not that I'm deserving in any manner, but because of your loyalty to your word and your kindness. Oh God, I do ask in Jesus' name that you remember us tonight. And Father, this little child that you've given unto these people, they give it unto thee as Samuel of old, that you might be with it all the days of its life, that it might belong unto thee, Heavenly Father. Take it, O God, guide it. Father, provide for it in the time of need. Father, when it's hungry, see that there's food. Father, when it's in need, Lord, of understanding, give it that understanding. Deliver it from fears and from frustration. Father, make its enemies thine enemies. Provide for it all the days of its life. Be with it, God. Help the mother and daddy to guide it and bring it up in the understanding of our Lord Jesus and in the ways of our Lord. May it be so that they remember thee all the days of their life. And the little child be blessed accordingly, Father. Be with us in Jesus' name tonight. And add your blessings to Keith and to his family. In Jesus' name.